experience equality. And we believe that this legislation is a clear and tangible step to ensuring our state is one that prioritizes the safety and affirmation of our youth, particularly our LGBTQ youth. As the organizational sponsor of this bill, we strongly urge your support for House Bill 2307. This will ensure that licensed professional health care providers do not subject Oregon youth to harmful conversion therapy. This conversion therapy includes a range of dangerous and discredited practices aimed at changing a person's sexual orientation or suppressing a person's gender identity or expression. I want to thank each and every member of this committee for meeting with us in the past week about this bill, or talking with us and asking such thoughtful questions. We've worked hard to address your questions, and you'll hear answers to them today from a broad set of experts and individuals impacted by conversion therapy. We believe that every LGBT child is born perfect, and that any young person's identity as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender should be honored, celebrated, and supported. Conversion therapy practices are based on the false claim that being LGBT is a mental illness that can and should be cured. And every leading health and mental health professional association in this country has rejected that view. And they have deemed conversion therapy treatments as ineffective, harmful, and dangerous. But unfortunately, our current Oregon law does not protect young people or their families from being coerced and subjected to these harmful practices, and that puts our young people at risk for depression, for decreased self-esteem, for substance abuse, and suicide. Some people have wondered if the bill's needed and if the practice persists in this day and age. I've heard a lot. And there are so many stories from members of our community who've been harmed by this therapy, stories that date back years, maybe even decades, and those that are fresh and maybe just a few weeks or months old. So we're here to ensure that their voices are heard and that these practices are put to an end.
My name is Jason Zenobia, and I strongly support House Bill 2307, the Youth Mental Health Protection Act. When I was 16 years old, living in Lake Oswego, my parents sent me into conversion therapy. I was gay. I couldn't imagine any future for myself. For all I knew, my options were prison, or life in a mental hospital, or death by violence or AIDS. I was suicidal. My parents were worried for my safety, and they wanted to find help. The professional therapist they turned to claimed that he could cure gay people and make them straight as long as they were properly motivated. This was the only hope I could imagine, to make it go away. But you can't fix something that's not broken. I turned even deeper inward, into my own shame and fear. I turned away from my parents, my friends, my brother, everyone who mattered to me. This therapist encouraged me to lie to myself and everyone else, so I did. After a year or so, I just wanted it to stop. I planned my suicide. But I did not go through with it. I told the therapist I was cured, and he accepted that. Before we parted ways, he brought my parents into one last therapy session where he scolded me for all of the pain I had caused my mother and father and instructed me to apologize to them for what I had put them through. It took me years to unravel the damage that this treatment inflicted on my relationship with my family. The scars are still there. Sometimes I feel angry about it, but something my father told me years later, helped. He said, "You always want your children's lives to be easy. We thought we were helping you. We just didn't realize how much damage we were doing. If we had it to do over again, we never would have done that to you." Too often, we read in the news about families who never get that second chance. This is why I urge this committee to vote in support of House Bill 2307, so we protect future generations of families from enduring this kind of pain. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I'm pleased to be your chairman, Greenlick, and the rest of this board. You've done a lot of good work for health in this state.
Thank you.
You especially, Representative Greenlick, and the rest of you folks, too, and I'm just really pleased to be able to testify to you. I'm Arthur Saffer. I'm Jason's father. And I did terrible damage to Jason and our family. And I've come here today in order to ask you to help prevent this terrible experience befalling other citizens of this state. In 1987, when Jason was at Lake Oswego High School, he completely surprised me when he told me he was gay. I wanted the best for Jason, and I was concerned with how this would, his being gay, affect him in life. Up to that point, most of my awareness of being gay came from off-color jokes. What little I knew or thought I knew made me very concerned. I was concerned that Jason would be rejected by society, unable to find happiness, and worse yet, unable to find the love that I share with my wife. Clearly, I was woefully ignorant, and I had to do something about that first. My professional life is biomedical research and development. I have two doctorates, in fact. My career was built around years of experience solving technical problems. I did what I knew best how to do. I reviewed the medical and scientific literature to learn about what Jason's condition and what could be done about that, or what should be done about that. But I made one terrible mistake. I've come here to ask you to help protect others from making that same mistake that I made. The literature at that time, we're talking about 87, supported the idea of sexual orientation was changeable by clinical intervention. There were articles that said that. Now, they were misleading, but I know from my technical experience when I read these articles that there are two things missing. Psychological trials were not controlled, which means that it's totally subject with bias of the investigator. And secondly, there was no follow-through to see what happens 20 years later if these people are still converted or what. But that was the best that I could find, and I acted on that very, very poor information, very badly supported. We arranged for Jason to see a psychologist at Lutheran Family Services in Portland. The psychologist quickly concluded that Jason was a gay man and should learn to live a happy and fulfilling life as a gay person. He was right, but I was still so steeped in misinformation that I did not accept his conclusion. Next, I contacted the psychologist receiving the most funding from the state of Oregon. I guess that was your committee who supported him. And he was supportive for treating people convicted of sexually deviant crimes, figuring that he could refer me to somebody who could help. He did. He referred me to a well-respected colleague who had a lot of experience with clinical intervention for young gay people. After a number of treatments, Jason convinced him that he was cured. The matter was dropped. When Jason was a college freshman at University of Puget Sound, he told us, in fact, that he was gay. By this time, I had learned that being gay did not mean Jason would be rejected by many people. He could find happiness in the world, and he could find the kind of love that I had, my wife and I had. We never went back to that psychologist who no doubt was convinced his practice was valid and continued to bring grief to more families. After all, he talked to Jason, treated him. Jason said he was cured. That's the last he's going to see of it. There's no follow-through. This is very convincing evidence to any clinical practitioner that he's done the right thing. Now, 25 years later, Jason has found great happiness. He's attained profound love with our very wonderful son-in-law, Brent. And I come to ask you to help others to avoid this terrible mistake. Please. Protect every family in Oregon. Please ban the practices of conversion therapy in Oregon by voting in support of HB 2307 so that we can protect future generations from this cruel practice and the suffering that I've had in my son and my family.
To make clear, that bill doesn't outlaw.
Beg your pardon?
To make clear, that bill doesn't outlaw the practice. It simply prevents it from being applied to anybody younger than 18.
Yes, exactly.
Dear Chair Greenlick and the committee, my name is Paul Southwick, and I'm here to testify today to ask you to support House Bill 2307. I have deep roots in Oregon, having grown up in Salem, Colton, and Molina. I went to college out in Newburgh, and now I live in North Portland. I'm here today to share my experience with conversion therapy. One night, while a student, I woke up suddenly feeling frightened. A tingling sensation began overtaking my body, first in my hands, my arms, and my feet and legs. I couldn't breathe or speak. I felt like I was dying. After I was rushed from campus to the hospital in an ambulance, a doctor told me I had experienced a panic attack. I was 20 years old. Shortly after this distressing experience, I entered conversion therapy for the first time. I entered conversion therapy because my panic attack was caused by the extreme anxiety that I had relating to my same-sex attractions. I needed help, so I turned to professionals who I trusted to help me. My parents trusted them too. I first experienced conversion therapy at an on-campus counseling center. My therapist was a graduate student who was supervised by a licensed professional. We spoke about anxiety, depression, and same-sex attractions. Unfortunately, he tried to help me overcome my homosexual orientation, and when I asked for his advice on how to do this, he suggested I watch heterosexual pornography in the hopes of arousing sexual desire for women. His advice only increased my confusion, anxiety, and depression. My second experience with conversion therapy was through a licensed professional in private practice in Gresham, Oregon. We only had a few sessions, but we ended our professional relationship after he told me he was not sure I could be cured, but he did not follow up that statement by saying I didn't need a cure. He didn't offer me that assurance. So I left his care feeling angry and defeated. My final involvement with conversion therapy was through the Portland Fellowship, an ex-gay program in Southeast Portland I attended for 2 years. Several members of the staff taught us about the roots of male homosexuality, focusing on things like childhood sexual abuse and our relationships with our parents. These themes were also discussed in my sessions with licensed therapists. The goal of the program was to graduate in 2 years with a certificate saying that you are now straight. I declined to attend the graduation ceremony because my anxiety had only worsened and my sexual attractions had not diminished. It took me several years before I could come out as a gay man. It took me several more to lose the shame. When you're in conversion therapy, you're taught that you have a sickness and that you need a cure. When that cure never comes, you're left even more hopeless than when you started. It's taken me a long time to forgive the people who tried to help me because I know they acted out of compassion. My parents wanted to see me better and healthy. I've forgiven, but I've not forgotten the pain, and I don't want any young people to experience that same kind of pain, so I urge you to vote in support of House Bill 2307. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Greenlich and members of the committee, thank you for having us here today. My name is Nico Quintana, and I'm the Policy Director for Basic Rights Oregon. I want to extend my deep support for House Bill 2307, the Youth Mental Health Protection Act. I support this bill because it will have life-saving impacts on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth in Oregon. This bill will protect LGBT youth from harmful practices of conversion therapy, which aim to change sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression of LGBT youth. These harmful practices use rejection, shame, and psychological abuse to force young people to try and change who they are. These practices are known to be extremely dangerous and can lead to depression, decreased self-esteem, substance use, and even suicide. Despite the progress we've made, devastating rates of violence and discrimination still exist in Oregon, particularly for transgender youth and LGBT youth of color, leading to higher rates of health disparities and early mortality and morbidity. 83% of transgender Oregonians experience harassment or discrimination on the job. 23% have experienced homelessness, and 40% have reported a history of suicide attempts. Additionally, LGBT people of color experience higher rates of poverty, harassment, discrimination, and negative life outcomes, health outcomes across the board. In 2014 alone, I lost four transgender friends and colleagues, one to suicide, one to murder due to a hate crime, and two died of health disparities, health issues. The youngest was 22 years of age. We need only look to the nation's headlines to be reminded of how conversion therapy is claiming the lives of our community members and our young people. On December 28, 2014, Leila Alcorn, a 17-year-old transgender girl from Ohio, took her own life after being subjected to conversion therapy. In her notes to her friends, she spoke to her hope that one day transgender people aren't treated the way that she was, that they're treated like humans with valid feelings and human rights. It grieves me that youth like Leila are still being subjected to the discredited and harmful practices of conversion therapy. Oregon is a leader on LGBT issues, and we are asking you, our state leaders, to once again demonstrate that the lives of LGBT Oregonians are important. I urge you to support HB 2307 and ban conversion therapy for minors in Oregon by licensed providers, and consider the consequences that not acting will have on the lives of thousands LGBT youth in Oregon.
Thank you very much.
That was testimony from a hearing in Salem calling on legislatures to pass a bill banning so-called gay conversion therapy for youth under the age of 18 in the state of Oregon. The bill passed the House and will go to the senator for approval. The time is 6 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Last Days in Vietnam, a film screening on Thursday, March 19th at Concordia University in Portland. Last Days in Vietnam is a new documentary from Rory Kennedy which examines the final days of American presence in Saigon.